Welcome in, everyone, on a beautiful Chicago weekend. Happy Pride weekend to everybody celebrating and all the people in the beautiful city of Chicago and the suburbs. We've got 2 hours of legal talk, lots of interesting topics, and we're probably going to be taking your calls somewhere around the 4:30 mark, 312-981-7200. But let's get started with a news story from Chicago that made the national news this week. The suspected Highland Park parade shooter was in court. He was expected to change his plea from not guilty to guilty. And when he got there, he refused to do so, upsetting the victim's families. Many of the families are represented by Chicago attorney Antonio Ramanucci of the firm of Ramanucci and Blandin, one of our city's premier firms concentrating in personal injury, medical malpractice, class action work, and police misconduct cases. Welcome to the show, Tony. How are you?
Good afternoon, Karen. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for being on again. So we heard that the shooter was going to change his plea. Now, as my listeners know, there is no death penalty in Illinois. And of course, the shooter is accused of taking seven lives. So there's no question that if he's convicted, he's going to go to prison for life. There's no question about that. So what was being offered to him that he was at least entertaining the idea of pleading guilty?
It's a very good question, Karen, and as you said it so well, I mean, whether he's found guilty of all charges or whether he had pled guilty as to the charges that were presented before him, his sentence, you know, would be or would have been life in prison. So what is he getting out of this? Well, the families were under the impression that he was the chapter on this, that he saw the writing on the wall, that the evidence against them is so beyond overwhelming, so beyond a reasonable doubt, that he wanted to just get this over with now and maybe have a little bit of peace with his own life. But I think what we rather saw was someone who wants to continue his reign of terror that he started on July 2nd, 2022, and continue on.
And, you know, I don't know why he showed up in the courtroom in a wheelchair, and I don't know that you know the answer to that, but is there speculation as to why a kid of his age, you know, is coming in a wheelchair?
Well, I can speculate, and I can also give you as close to true of an answer as to why he came in. I can't tell you whether or not that reason is true. But we did hear from the deputy sheriffs that he had requested a wheelchair because he felt anxious and unsure that he would be able to stand and get himself out into the courtroom without failing, without either falling or failing to get into the courtroom. So he requested a wheelchair. Is that to be believed? I can't tell you that, but certainly what I can speculate is that he used the wheelchair as a prop, just as he has used other props that caused massacre before, you know, a weapon of mass destruction. And he used that wheelchair as a prop to draw attention to himself, which he know that he has clearly lacked in his life and is looking for now.
Tony, how prepared are the families to go to trial and to testify? Because this trial will take a long time, even just as an estimate, with all of the witnesses, and there was a confession, and there's going to be videos, and there are going to be victims talking about their losses. What are the families prepared to do this? And obviously, they would prefer not to, I would understand.
Well, I can certainly speak on behalf of the clients that our firm represents. Our clients are absolutely undeterred by his activities, his disgust that he displayed in the courtroom the other day. They will be relentless in pursuing justice for him and accountability. And if it means a trial, they are prepared to withstand the rigors and the emotional trauma of a trial so that they can see this man behind jail for the rest of his life.
One quick question before we have to take a break. How much do the families, and I imagine this varies among the family members, how much do the families blame the shooter's father and mother? I just heard the mother is quoted as saying, the hearing was a win, that I'm proud mother of a faithful, God-loving son. I don't know if that's true. I saw it in the Tribune. And, of course, the father just served 30 days of his 60-day sentence for signing on to allow the shooter to buy the weapon. How angry and how much of a blame are your clients giving to those parents?
I think to both of those questions, Karen, I can tell you that they assess a very high degree of blame and very high degree of anger towards the father for so easily facilitating the shooter to get his FOID card, because he's the one who basically validated, who said, yeah, it's okay for my son to have this weapon of mass destruction, this assault rifle, this AR-15 that was unlawfully marketed to him, basically that he was groomed on, and to say it's okay for him to have, and you look at the consequences. So there's no question that the father was in concert with his son when it comes to the massacre that happened 2 years ago.
And he still doesn't seem very upset about it, and actually is acting kind of like a victim, in my view.
Oh, he's totally acting like a victim. And, you know, I got to see him in court. And of course, I don't see, at least from appearances, any sorrow, regret, or contriteness to anything that he's done. If anything, it seems like he's digging his heels in. And with regard to your comment about what his mother said, that her son is a God-loving person, I don't know how to comment on that. People that I know that love God and love their God and worship someone don't act in this manner.
Of course. We're talking to Antonio Romanucci. He is with the law firm of Romanucci and Bland, and we'll be back in a little bit. And I want to talk, Tony, about a little bit more about what happened in court, but also about the lawsuit and where you're going with the lawsuit you brought on behalf of the Highland Park victims. You're listening to WGN. Welcome back. We're talking to one of the premier personal injury class action medical malpractice attorneys in the city of Chicago and in the country, Antonio Romanucci of the law firm of Romanucci and Blandin. Tony, while I have you here, can you give out your contact information if anyone would like to contact you?
Oh, thank you, Karen. Yes, I can be reached at aromanucci@rblaw.net or our phone number, 312-458-1000.
Okay, so we're talking about the Highland Park shooting case. You, on behalf of some of the families and the victims, brought a lawsuit. Can you tell our listeners briefly about what this lawsuit was about and what the status of it is?
Yes. So as some of the listeners may know, lawsuits cannot be brought against gun manufacturers because they have been afforded immunity under a statute that our federal government enacted about 20 years ago. So we can't sue gun manufacturers for what's called product liability, defective manufacturing, failure to warn, those kind of things. We can't do that. However, what we're alleging in this case is something a little bit more specialized in particular. So in this lawsuit, we are suing the gun manufacturer indeed. We are suing Smith & Wesson. We're suing the gun distributor and also the gun shop where this particular gun was purchased under an Illinois statute, which is the Consumer Fraud and Deceptive Business Practice Act. So what we're saying is that there was deception in how this gun got into the shooter's hands. And I can give you a couple examples, Karen, of how this happens, if you'd like.
Sure, absolutely.
There's a really good example out there, an analogous example that listeners may be familiar with, and that's with e-cigarettes. E-cigarettes also were charged with violating this type of statute because what they were doing is they were enticing teenagers with these great flavored cigarettes to buy e-cigarettes that were highly charged with nicotine. Then they became addicted, and you become a customer for life, and then the company becomes very profitable. And so we're saying the same thing with guns. There's no reason that guns should be marketed on social media or in video games where it's attractive for teenagers, whether they be male or female, to buy these guns and desire to have them. Because, you know, we're not dealing with plastic rifles with styrofoam tips here. We're dealing with real long guns that fire ammunition that pierce ballistic vests. And so what we're saying is that these guns were marketed in a way that was unlawful to want these teenagers to have this gun. And if they weren't mentally fit to have these guns, then carnage happens, tragedy happens, and that's exactly what we're saying happened in Highland Park, and that's why the families are seeking to hold the Smith & Wessons in this particular case, and the Remingtons and the Daniels defense and the Colts and other cases accountable for selling these guns.
So, Tony, and maybe we're getting a little bit in the weeds here, but this is a legal show, so I want to ask you this question. I remember when Walter Jacobson, who was on this station, was sued by the cigarette manufacturers for saying that the cigarette companies would target youth, young people. And he actually, was found to be guilty of defamation, interestingly. But it turns out there were documents that were kept offshore that bore that out, that absolutely showed that the marketing companies were talking about how they're going to market these things to kids, because once a child starts smoking and is addicted, then that person smokes for life. Do you think, or are you getting, or are you anticipating getting those backup documents? Someone is probably talking on an email about how to market these weapons.
Karen, I don't think there's any doubt that we will find these documents. And I can tell you that just what we've been able to find that's out in the public domain on social media and their marketing efforts towards children, there's no reason to market a miniature pink AR-15. There's just no reason at all. See, AR-15s are marketed as hunting rifles. And I'm still challenged to find anybody who, and I ask people all the time, by the way, I'm still haven't found anybody who's actually used an AR-15 to hunt animals with. And I am not a hunter, so I can't say that I'm out there all the time actually hunting, but that's why I ask. This is not a hunting rifle. It is a massacre rifle. It's a weapon of mass destruction. And so we have found so much marketing material already that exists where teens are included in the marketing with adults, that when teens see this, they also want to be a part of how do I become a man? How do I grow stronger? How do I gain self-confidence? And that's through the marketing that they've created, saying that if you have one of our guns, you will be a man, you will be more confident, you will be a stronger person.
And as a civil attorney, and I know whenever I've had you on, I try to make people understand, at least from my perspective, that yes, you're seeking money damages. Yes, you're seeking money for the victims and the victims' families. But with these kinds of cases, when you bring these lawsuits, you kind of try to move the needle. And whether that is making these gun manufacturers cease their efforts to market these vulnerable young men, generally speaking, we're talking about, or to change the law, if we can actually change the law, given the fact that there's a lot of precedent that supports the right to have a gun. But I assume that those are really your focus points in addition to the compensation monetarily.
Karen, I couldn't be more proud of the legal teams that are included in this Highland Park litigation. We are not the only firm. There are many other law firms included. And they all know what an uphill climb we have. But we know that we're not going to stop. We will not stop our climb. We will continue to push that rock up the hill. And we hope to get to the crest and make sure that we find accountability. And we know what a difficult job we have, because there aren't many law firms around the country who are willing to take these types of cases on, because I don't want to call it a new type of litigation, but it is something that is newer in the industry, just like what you said earlier. Tobacco litigation had to start somewhere. Pinto vehicle litigation had to start somewhere. Asbestos litigation, e-cigarette litigation, all of those had to start somewhere. And that's why I'm saying I'm so proud of the firms that are included in this litigation, and even those all around the country, because we know we have a job to do in order to make change. And if we don't take the initiative to make change, right now we know that Washington is probably not very well equipped to make the changes in order to save children's lives.
We have just a minute, and I know you wanted to talk a little bit about the overturning of convictions that we've seen lately and the fallout of the Burge era misconduct. Can you just quickly tell us what's going on with that and what, if anything, we can expect to see in the near future with this situation?
Well, I think the city of Chicago has a reckoning coming, you know, not only because of Burge, but because of other detectives that have been in the news, such as, you know, Reynaldo Guevara and others that we've seen. City of Chicago has literally thousands of years of wrongful convictions that they have coming to a reckoning. And those are going to be worth a significant sum of money, potentially more than $1 billion. And I think the city has to come to terms with that and figure out what they're going to do and how they're going to handle that, so that, or else all of those monies are going to fall on taxpayer shoulders.
Antonio Romanucci, thank you so much for taking time on your Sunday to address my listeners. And can you give out your contact information for anybody who might want to contact you?
And thank you, Karen. My phone number for the office is 312-458-1000, and I absolutely welcome emails at aromanucci at rblaw.net.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. And thank you, Tony. Good luck to you, and I'll see you around the courthouse.
Thank you, Karen. All my best to you, always.
All right. Thank you.